It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for spending your Saturday with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton taking your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Let's go to one of our texters here, Ton. They say they have night crawlers all over their yard, and is there any way to get rid of them?
Well, night crawlers usually show up, and if they're surfacing, especially when we haven't had any rain, there may be something going on with the irrigation system that's causing them to stay relatively close to the surface. So what I would check is how wet the soil is and how compacted. So if they're in a clay, night crawlers oftentimes can't penetrate through really dense clay, or if there's vehicle traffic or the lawn was installed on already compacted soil, that would be another reason. But night crawlers don't traditionally get all over the soil and things of that nature unless there's something else going on that's causing them to do so.
Next listener says they have dead spots in their lawn. Can they seed those areas right now and expect new grass in the spring?
I would wait another couple of weeks until we're consistently in the low 50s, high 40s, to where it's too cold for that grass seed to want to germinate. I'm afraid that it would germinate and then we'd get cold and it would be killed.
Okay, Dan is our next caller. Good morning, Dan. How can we help you this morning?
Hello?
Good morning, Dan. What is your question?
Oh, sorry. Hey, we had a great tomato year this year, and we still have a bunch of green tomatoes on the vine close to ripe. I'm just wondering, with this weather coming up in the next day or two, if it's worth covering those and trying to let them ripen up, or are we kind of at the end of the season, and is it time to call it quits?
Well, I don't think we're supposed to get a frost. These lower temperatures can sometimes make the tomatoes taste a little bit off. You could throw a tarp or something over them, but we've got another week in the high 60s and low 70s. And so I might risk it and go another week before I pulled them all off and brought them in.
Okay. If we have some that are really close, I've heard that you can ripen them up on the counter with maybe by putting an apple in with the bowl or whatever. Is that worth doing, or is it the equivalent of a store-bought
tomato? Oh, they'll ripen.
Oh, it's definitely worth doing.
Yeah, it's worth doing, and they'll ripen. Even the green ones, as long as they're not just like super dark green, and if they're close to the size they should be and they're a lighter green, what you can do is just pull them off and store them. And so you'd put them in the bottom of a box or something similar, cover the layer with newspaper, and you can do three or four layers in the box. And then put them at 55 degrees, and as you need the tomatoes, bring them up and store them at around 70, just room temperature. And over 7 or 10 days, they'll ripen. Or you can get a paper bag and a banana and put them for 24 hours in with that banana, and then the ethylene gas from the banana will cause them to ripen within a few days usually.
Okay, great. You have one more question?
Go right ahead.
I planted some onions for the first time this year, and they grew, but very small bulbs. I'm just wondering if there's some hints that you can give me as to how to get those bulbs to be a little larger. I saw something about maybe digging a little trench around the sides of the bulbs as they grew to give them room to expand, but that seemed a little funny to me.
No, that doesn't do anything.
Any ideas?
Plant them early. If you plant onions in May, they don't size up. They need to go in mid to late March. because they size up and they grow according to the pattern of the day length as compared to the darkness. And so if you can get them in early while the day lengths are increasing, you get a lot bigger bulb size than what you would putting them in May.
Okay, and they're cold hardy enough to go in that early, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. And you can do, depending on what you're doing, you can do the sets, and those will need to be used within, you know, a few weeks of harvesting, 3 or 4, maybe 8 weeks of harvest. But if you do the seeds or seedlings, those will, especially if they're the Spanish onions, will store over the winter.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Right. Thanks, Dan, for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know if you have any suggestions, Ton, for beginner gardening books.
You know, there's a lot of them out there, but for local growing conditions, Utah State University Extension has free information that is local, and it doesn't try to incorporate growing plants in Florida, Utah, and Oregon.
Right.
So what I would do is just list the crops you are interested in growing, and as long as they're legal, Utah State University probably has a fact sheet on what to do. You can just search something like Utah State University and onions in the garden, and it'll bring up the fact sheet, download it, print it if you want to, but that information is out there from USU for free.
Next listener wants to know if it's too late for a final spray of 24D and quinclorac on their lawn.
No, it's perfect time. Most quinclorac products available to homeowners already have 2,4-D in the mix. So, you know, if you're using Q4 Plus or Ortho's Weed Clear, both of those are sufficient that you wouldn't need to do a second 2,4-D spray.
All right, let's go to Rick in Mountain Green. Good morning, Rick. How can we help you this morning?
Hello, are you talking to me?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay. I've got some questions about lilacs, sort of planning ahead. I've got a lawn. We moved into a home about 6 months ago with a back lawn that has a couple of soil cutouts along the side, along a rock wall in the sun. And they're each about 45 to 55 square feet. So I want to put a few lilacs in them. The question I have is the sprinkler system from the lawn gets those things very wet. It doesn't have its own dedicated drip system in there right now. Will that be okay to water lilacs that way, or do I need to put in a dedicated sprinkler drip to them?
How wet does that soil stay through the summer?
Well, it stays wet for, you know, I water about twice a week, sometimes three times a week. I try to go longer and less frequent. And they stay wet for 2 or 3 days.
Okay, my concern is, let's say that being at the base of a rock wall, the soil doesn't drain well, and it's mucky. Those lilacs would be killed, and if it's too dry, they would be killed. But the majority of the time, lawn sprinklers, especially if you're doing it less often and more deeply, are fine. And so the first year, especially the first few months, you may need to do some supplemental irrigation. But once they start to get their roots shot out, oftentimes the lawn water isn't ideal, but it's sufficient to keep them going.
Yeah, it's not going to be overly watered. It doesn't get muddy.
So you're going to have to keep an eye on it. And, you know, let's say the day after you irrigate, what I would do is go dig a hole and see how deep that irrigation water is going. And then maybe check it the day before you irrigate and see how dry it gets. But the only way you're really going to know is just through some supplemental investigation. And so you can plant those, and for, you know, a month or two, you're going to have to soak them in with your hose a couple of times a week in addition to the lawn sprinklers. But after that, I'm reasonably sure, especially a few years down the road, that if the lawn is staying green, that is enough water to keep the lilacs green.
Okay. Now, do you have some recommendations on – we've had different lilacs at times in other homes. We had one that was very pastel pink, very fragrant, but we wanted something a little brighter and, you know, purple and red too, that also has great fragrance. Do you have any recommendations?
Well, most of the lilacs are going to have great fragrance, and honestly, there's so many varieties that cycle through that what would have been good 10 or 15 years ago, you know, may be supplanted by something that's just newer and better. So what, let's see, you're in Mountain Green. What I would recommend doing is just hitting a local garden center, or, you know, if you come into the Layton and Ogden areas, you could check out J&J Nursery and Valley Nursery. Both of them will have great selections, and see what's available. There's some kind of champagne colored, just kind of reddish. There's not a true red lilac, but there's kind of purpley red ones. Sensation is one of my favorite, and it's a purple one with a white fringe on the flowers. But there's so many out there that I would take a look at what's available.
All right. Thank you so much for your call this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you this morning. Ton, we have a shorter show today due to the BYU game and our pregame coverage. So I want to fly through some of these questions that we're getting from some of our listeners here. The next one is, this person has top dress spots in their lawn with compost and raked it in so the grass was showing. They had almost 2 inches deep of compost in some spots, and now they have a lot of dead grass, and they will want to know what they should do.
Well, I wish they wouldn't have put that much compost down.
It was just too much.
It was too much. You're supposed to do just a skiff of it, you know, a quarter inch at a time, and then put it on just every few weeks as it breaks down. And they've probably smothered the crowns. At this point, if the grass is dead, I would just go out and work the soil, and so you can prepare it for new sod or seed. Now, you can't leave that thatch layer there because the grass seed or sod won't really penetrate through it really well, and so that's going to have to be dug out and reseeded or resodded. But it's also a little late in the year, and they probably would want to wait for spring. So at this point, they could leave it alone and see if it comes back in the spring. If it doesn't, repair it then.
But dig out that thatch. Or rake it off.
Yeah, and they might be able to get a leaf blower and just blow it out that way.
Okay, that would be an easier way to do that. Next listener wants to know, they have small reeds that grow in their shrub area, and they want to know how they should get rid of those.
Small reeds, that's always concerning. I wonder if they have horsetail. I can't really do much to help them because not knowing what the exact weed is, that's really hard to say. But they could... without knowing more, I really am just uncomfortable saying this spray or that spray.
What about just digging them out?
They could do that.
If it's horse, make them just get worse?
If it's horsetail, they'll just come right back. But if you cultivate them every 2 or 3 weeks, you know, for a few years, you will eventually get rid of them or at least diminish them greatly. But if it's, you know, my concern is that it's wet. And if you've got reeds or horsetail there, then it, you know, there's problems. And so the other thing it could be is another weed called Phragmites, which isn't super common in residential areas, but anywhere, let's say 2 yards budding together that are sloped, anywhere that you get standing water for a good portion of the summer, Phragmites will invade. And so not knowing if it's horsetail or Phragmites, I just, besides maybe just keeping it cultivated, I can't really make any good recommendations.
But it sounds like they need to do something to minimize the water.
And so some pictures on Utah Gardening Experts would quickly, on Facebook, would quickly would identify those and then get some better treatment options.
All right. Should they treat lawn fungus now? The lawn has grass gone in circles. What do they do now? And then what should they do in the spring?
No. I'm assuming necrotic ring spot or summer patch, and the time to put a fungicide down is in the spring when temperatures are consistently around 70 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And for now, there's really not much they can do. Just make sure and try to keep the lawn healthy. We've been recommending to people to stop irrigating if you've got necrotic ring spot. in those areas. I might run the sprinklers for 15 minutes a week until we get regular rain and snow so that the grass doesn't get too stressed from being already weakened.
Next listener wants to know if you have a recommendation for a shade tree that is drought tolerant. It would be for the Bird's Eye Indianola area foothills. And they wonder whether a northern red oak would work.
No. It would kind of grow, but the red oaks are susceptible to iron chlorosis, and I know they have pretty red fall color, but I would rather see them veer towards something like a bur oak, which is more adapted to our soil. And it's going to be more drought tolerant and get as big. It just doesn't have that red fall color. And so if they're wanting oaks, my number one selection would be bur oak.
Next listener has a small dead spot in their front lawn, say 3 by 5 feet or so, and it looks as though someone has punched a bunch of 3 by 8 inch holes in it. Could that be lawn grubs, and what should they do?
This may be a situation where something has emerged from the lawn and has completing its life cycle, or something's boring in to it. It's really hard to say because those holes can be caused by a number of different things. But birds sometimes can do that, like crows will dig grubs out of the lawn and eat them. So without more information, I would suspect that something like crows or something are digging grubs out, and it means there's something living under there. But without doing a lot more investigation in this one, I can't really say for sure. And there's really no treatment right now anyway, because if there are lawn grubs there, those need to be treated in the spring.
Okay, we have about 30 seconds left, and the next person wants to know if they have some tobacco worms in their petunia flower pots, and they want to know if they can dispose of that potting soil by putting it in their garden where petunias won't be grown.
That should be fine. I would spread it out and till it in, and the chances are that those tobacco bud worms won't cause any problems. Now, the one thing I would avoid is planting tomatoes and peppers there just in case, but otherwise they should be fine.
Stay with us for the top of the hour news and more on the Greenhouse Show following.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.